I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so hour number two on the bench with Mafia. I'm Farrell. The Bruins are trailing by 11. Michigan State up 40-29 with a 140 and rolling in the first half. And Mackey and West Lafayette in the opening games of the NCAA tournament. We've already had three games check in, and I've hit every single bet. I'm talking about every money line, every spread. I hit Texas Southern, a pick 'em. They won 60-52. Boom. Then I hit, Drake 53-52 over Wichita State, getting one. Drake covers or gets the one and wins the game outright. Should have lost. And then Norfolk was up 16 at the half, blew the lead, was getting whacked, came back, wins it at the free throw line, no less. Carter hit two, 54-53. Norfolk wins it. And I was getting 3.5. I'm 6-0 in bets tonight. Michigan State's at the line, up 10, 1.5 left. Adam in Kansas City, you're on a bench.
Hey, Scotty, love the show. And I will say, I'm thinking about Granny, and it sounds like you're sneaking her some good stuff there. Yeah, hopefully Mafia can get me a Coors Light before we get going here.
You know what was funny is that, well, it wasn't funny. I'll tell you a story. So it was like Christmas Day, right? And the whole family came over and everyone, because I'm usually the headquarters for all the parties, right? Uncle Futrelli always has the, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas parties. Mafia knows this to be true. And everyone flocks like seagulls to my house and the Farrella Palatial's rocking. So we get over there. Everybody's starting the day. You got the hors d'oeuvres coming out. People are in a good mood and I love you and all this other nonsense and Merry Christmas and all the rest. And then Granny started complaining about her arthritis. And she said her knees and her hands and everything was aching and she felt miserable. So I went to Plan B and I said, I'll give you something for your arthritis, Granny. And I gave her this... let's just be honest here. I gave her a 100-milligram gummy bear, and it did not go well, Mafia. As you know, Granny was overwhelmed by the gummy bear, and the next thing I knew, she couldn't like stand. She was dizzy. She was getting all flustered, and she didn't feel good and she was overwhelmed. And the next thing I knew, she was sleeping. She was in bed. They put her up in bed. on Christmas Day. And I mean, she was literally up there sleeping for like 6 hours. I mean, it wasn't your normal, you know what it was like, Mafia? It was probably that first time you ever smoked weed when you were a kid and you were like 16 maybe or whatever. And you went out with your buddies and somebody pulled out that big old thumb and you hit it. And then next thing you knew, you could barely function and you went home and you went to bed because you had really bad buzz and you had cotton mouth and you were trying to hide it from your parents and you had to sleep it off. Grandma had to sleep off the gummy bear. She was knocked over by it. But what was funny was I had given her those before and she liked them. And we hold on a second, Adam. We were on, I wanted to say welcome to our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mighty Ear 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, USA Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench. Pharrell here with Mafia. We're talking to Adam in Kansas City. I'm telling him the story of giving Granny 100 milligram gummy bears of chronic to deal with her arthritis. And like I had given her these things before. Wait, are we on the air right now? Check 1, 2. I'm just kidding. I gave her some before and she liked them. She was like, I gave her watermelon candies, or I gave her a lozenger and she was like, I feel great. I'm good. Get me another glass of wine. I'm good to go. Like she was out on the back deck and she had a buzz on and she was all good. And she's like, this is awesome. She's 87 and she's snapping tubes. And meanwhile, then I gave her one on Christmas and she was literally knocked over on her ass in bed all day, and I ruined Christmas for everyone. And then my wife turned on me, 34C, she turned on me, and she was like, you tried to kill my mother. And I was like, I didn't try to kill her. I was trying to help her with her arthritis. But I would never, far be it from me, there's certain things I don't do in life, as you know, Mafia. A, I don't bet on Rutgers or Seton Hall in the state of New Jersey. And B, I don't give, my gummy bears away to people that can't handle the buzz. And I would never, as you know, keep reefer or gummy bears around my house. A horrible person, but I would never get involved in those kind of shenanigans. So, Adam, I'm glad that you're concerned. Oh, so what have I done now, Mafia? I've blown the whole segment talking about grandma eating gummy bears. Adam, don't go anywhere. I'm not done with you yet. We haven't even had our conversation. I know you want to talk about what's wrong with kids playing basketball now with the three-point shot and that they're all a bunch of little troublemakers and heathens. So don't give up. Hold on. Hang in. And I promise you, when I come back out of this break, I'm going to give the floor to you, and you're going to talk, and then I'm going to answer your question. Because you asked me about Granny smoking weed. And that set off this whole chain of events that we're dealing with right now.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So Adam was talking to us from Kansas City. So I wanted to say one other thing to you, Adam, is that when I, in the playoffs, I said, going into, I think it was the Cleveland game or something like that, right? I think again, Kansas City, Cleveland, something like that. I remember saying on the air, Mafia knows this story. I said on the air, I'm like, I think their defense is overrated. I don't think their defense is that good, but I'm betting on them anyway, right? I took them, I think it was going into the Buffalo game. It was the title game, and they had already beaten Cleveland. And I said, I don't think their defense is that good. I said, Cleveland, if they got the ball one more time, they were going to go down the field and beat them. I said, I just don't think their defense is that good, but I'm still betting on them. So I like Mahomes. I like the Chiefs offense. I think they'll score too much for Buffalo. I think they'll beat them. Mafia knows this is true. And I mean, these people in Kansas City, I mean, they attacked me like you would have thought I had slept with their mothers. I mean, it was the most unbelievable thing. Do you remember Mafia telling you, like, they attacked me? Like, see, I just don't care what you think, just so we're clear. I'm not the kind of guy that gets into the whole, you want to attack me or email me or tweet me or text me. Ask Mafia, tell the truth. I don't give two rat's asses what people, I'm beyond all that. Like, you can hate me till you're dead. I don't even care. Hate me all you want. I have at it. Like, I don't lose sleep over the show and people's reaction to me and people hate my voice and all that. I've heard all this nonsense for 35 years. So I just go for it. I'm like, listen, I think their defense is overrated. And then I got attacked like I had stolen their children. I mean, like, I got 50 million. I mean, 50 million. There's only two times I ever remember it. Once was when I said, call me when he wins, Tom Brady. Remember, Mavi? Call me when Tom Brady wins. Another Super Bowl. It was like his fifth one. And when he won, this is like number five, I got like 5 million phone calls of hate. Venomous hate. And then the Kansas City Buffalo game, I got like 50 million evil mail, whatever you want to call it. And I said on the air, I'm like, I got all these people attacking me over saying that their defense is overrated. And I mean, not like about the defense. I'm talking about impaling me. And like on a flagpole and then driving me around the state of Missouri and then putting me in a swamp with alligators type hate. They wanted to kill me, hurt me, dismember me, cut me into pieces, Jeffrey Dahmer me, eat me. Literally, they were going to boil me and eat me and spread, have like a dinner, like a dinner party with my like body parts. They were going to boil and eat. That's how bad it was. And then I bet on them. Like, I bet on them to win the game. I bet a bunch of money on the Chiefs to win the game, and I still got it. So what I wanted to say is they have great barbecue there, and screw everyone. Okay, I just want to screw everybody. Mafia, can you hear me? Screw everybody. I don't care. And I still won the bet. So screw you. I just wanted to say that. But Adam, of course, does not live in that neighborhood where I hate all those people. He actually lives in the neighborhood where I like people in Kansas City, over by Gates, where I eat barbecue, and over by where my uncle lives in Kansas City. I like that area as well. So, Adam, thank God that you live on the nice part of town.
Well, yes, it is a blessing. I'm with you. The Chiefs' defense was not great this year. And here's how bad that game was. Is I was laid up with COVID, and I could barely – and I'm a season ticket holder. I could barely even sit up to watch the AFC Championship.
I know. I know how that goes. That whole thing's evil. It's very evil. People can't even get out of bed. I mean, literally, you're in bed 20 hours a day. You lose weight. You can't eat. The whole deal.
Yeah, it was not great. I did want to talk to you very quickly because you were talking about your daughter's basketball team. And I do coach in the area. And I had 2 points. Number one, I think that there's too much focus on parents trying to get scholarships for their kids.
And right about that.
I think you can speak about this because you got a scholarship to play tennis at Indiana. I think playing sports in college has to suck because you can't do all the fun things. Like, they're getting you up to do practice. And I don't know that. I think we're missing what's truly fun about sports. And I think about, you know, you and Mafia, you know, playing basketball in your league. And there's so many kids that get burned out that they don't want to do that when they're in their 40s right. and 50s. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it doesn't become fun. And so,
well, I think,
I don't know. You can comment about that.
Yeah, I think that they, like, look, I'm experiencing it right now. So a couple things. A, like, so my kid, the one's in high school, he plays, and he's on the JV team. And they have a good basketball program at the school. They're pretty good for a public school. That's where all his friends go. That's where he goes. That's where he wants to go, right? Like, I could send him anywhere. There's all kinds of people around here that send their kids to private schools and Catholic schools and all kinds of, you know, tuition schools, whatever you want to call them. And all I know is this, he doesn't play because he's a sophomore and he's on the JV, which they play all the juniors. So the kids, the bottom line is they get in for a minute, maybe, or two max. Three is like your birthday if you get 3 minutes of burn. And so it turned him off, right? Like, fair enough. Like, he sat there through 20 games and just never played. And he said, this sucks. I don't need this in my life, right? He's like, you know, I ball with you with grown men, and it's way more fun than this. And I think that I get it. That's the way the world works. You wait till you're a junior, then you'll get the burn. And then when you're a senior, if you make the varsity, you go play there. Maybe you'll sit on your ass there too. But there's no denying you're right about one thing, Adam, is that everyone I know literally thinks their kid's going pro. And the one thing I know is I know one kid. I know one kid right now that in my entire life, I know, and because I know hundreds of kids, right? I've seen hundreds of them play in every sport. And I know one kid that I guarantee you will be in the NHL. This kid is so good that he's already made the Olympic team and he hasn't even gone yet. Okay. They've already invited him to go live at the Olympic, you know, the U.S. training facility. And that means you're going to make the team. And then you're going to go, and he's got every school in America wants him to play hockey at the school. Every hockey school is giving him a full ride here. Come now. And the kids, he's going to the NHL. That's how good he is. And all the rest of the kids' parents are tripping. They're tripping. They're tripping. Their kids aren't going pro at anything. Now, they might become alcoholics. They might become college. They might do well in college. They might not do well in college. They might become CEOs. They might become lawyers and doctors. They might become successful in business or in marketing or PR or music or theater or the arts or radio or television. And they're not going to get that full ride to be the star basketball or football player and everything else. Everyone I know is telling me their kid's going pro. Everyone I know. And I sit there and you know what? The only thing I have to do is fight for my eyes crossing when I'm talking to them. When they're telling me all the training and all the people they pay and all the people that they hire to, and the, even the food, they have chefs. They cook for these kids. And I'm like, I tell my son, don't be a pee. Stick it out, play ball, make some stops in practice, go to the hole, score, block some shots, make some dimes, do it all. And then they'll notice and they'll play you. But if you don't do all those things, then, you know, you sit on the bench, you suck, you lose. That's the way it works. But every kid thinks they're going pro. And the sad news of it is, you know, if you can name one where you live or where you are in the world you're in that has actually got a shot in whatever, baseball, hockey, basketball, if you know one, it's a miracle.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, Pharrell on a bench. Anyway, listen, don't get me wrong. Mafia, I'm rooting for all these people. I hope their kids go pro. I hope they all do. I'm telling you, like, I've been around it a lot. I've seen a lot of it, right? So I hope they all get what they want out of life, whatever. And I know a lot of kids have played, whatever, D2, D3, NAIA. I've seen all that. I've done all that. And I've done it myself. And bottom line is, it's hard to do. It's way harder now than it was back then, if you ask me, if you go back in the day. Now, I still think there were great athletic feats and great athletic prowess and recruiting and talent and players and every sport across the board, women, men, everything through the years. No doubt about it. Everybody's been iconic and incredible. I'm not missing that point. Fair enough. But nowadays, I never saw any of that. Really, I saw kids and parents going overboard with travel teams and like traveling to state tournaments and national tournaments and stuff like that, and opportunities to play in situations like that I've seen before, right? But not to the extent where I remember as a kid having to really, I mean, I might have taken a few lessons over the years in you know, stuff, but nothing major. It was mostly just playing and trying out and making it and going about your business. Nowadays, these kids, seriously, like every kid I know, they all have like, you know, trainers and some of them have, like I said, chefs and stuff like that. They watch what they eat and everything that goes in them is sacred. And then they're really trying to make it. And obviously, I hope they do. That's fantastic. But, it, you know, I've always said on this show and others, they'll find you. But most of the people I know are kind of looking for them, right? They're looking for somebody to notice their kid and get to the next level and, you know, whatever, get a free ride to school or take it even further than that. I'm sure a lot of them are obsessed with that. I've seen some of it. I've been around some of it, but I really don't want any part of it, to be honest with you. I've been around mine playing, but not in some kind of freak, and you can quote me on that, not freak or freaking out type of parent. I just don't. I go, I watch him play. I'm like, I drive him home from the game or whatever. And I'm like, you know, he's been on some really good teams, but Mafia and I have gone and seen him and they still suck. They're really good and they win. They go 20-3 or whatever. They win the title, but they still suck. Mafia and I, we watch them win the title. And we're like, boy, they still kind of suck, don't they? And he's like, yeah, they do suck. But they're better than the other teams, so they win, right? But they're not really good at fundamentals and stuff like that. And, you know, talent will get you so far for sure. They'll come and find you. Believe me, if you have the talent, they'll find you. Like, I've seen it already with this kid that I'm watching in his path to the NHL. And the difference was is that I've seen it for real. Like, I've actually, you know, all these people talk about it, like what's going to happen. I've actually done it, and I've seen kids that they find and that make it, right? I've told this story many times. I've seen all these players, Krupp's kid. I've seen NHL stars' children make it to the league, right? And they go through the process, and they make it. And I've seen them skate and play, and they have way better skills than everyone else because they've been raised that way. By their dads, and they have the genes, and they have the goods, and then you see it come to fruition in front of your very eyes. I'll never forget watching the kid in Atlanta. I went to see him play in some like huge game, and he was skating circles around people. It was like watching, for me at the time, it was almost like watching. Well, it certainly was like watching his dad, but it wasn't. It was not the same. For me, it was like watching Gretzky. I was sitting there watching this one kid skate circles around every other kid. I mean, the whole game, he was skating circles around people and doing things with the puck. And it was amazing. His draw, his handle, his skating, his feet, his footwork, his strength, his talent, what he was doing to people, abusing them and owning them. And he was just, he was 15. And he was humiliating people. And I was like, Jesus. And of course, they make it to the NHL, the really good ones. And I know this kid that now is going to, he's going to be in the NHL. And I said, the only thing that could stop him, obviously, is, you know, obviously, and I don't want any of that to happen either, is some kind of catastrophic injury playing. You know what I mean? Like this kid, you know, he could have injuries along the way in the Olympic team or in, you know, USA hockey or in the college, if he were to play at, let's say, hypothetically, you know, like a Michigan or a Harvard or a BC or wherever he wants to play hockey, because all the best want him. And then the NHL, he'll be, you know, 2 years away from that. And then he'll be in the league because I've seen it already. And he stands out like a sore thumb. Like, it's not like anything else. You see, all these people think their kids are great. I actually saw a kid that was great. I was like, oh, look at this kid. that, oh, that's him. And then, you know, my son knew him, and that's how I got to meet him. And then I saw the kid play, and I was like, well, there you go. That's it right there. That's happening. That's going to the NHL. I watched it. It was embarrassing watching the kid play. Embarrassing. I was like, I was laughing. I was like, oh my God. Cause you know, you just know. And the difference is that everybody else just thinks they know. And then some people actually know, you know, Mavi, the people that we deal with, scouts, coaches, GMs, owners, people in the sport, in the inside, and, you know, these pro days and everything else, it's no different in college. The kids in high school, they know you already. They, you know, when you're young, they know you and they come after you. And then the process begins. And then if they have the goods, it all comes to a head and comes to a fruition on its own. There's not any, you know, daddy's helping you and everything else. At some level, it gets to the point where the talent wins over everyone. It wins over the dad, the mom, his friends, his little high school teammates that he's better than, you know, because they're not going pro. He is, right? That's when you know, when there's the one that actually just does it and doesn't have to listen to anybody. The parents, the coach, the trainer, the chef. You just see him play, and when you watch him, you know. And that's it. It's over. And then the scouts come, and they watch him play, and they're like, it's 1 minute, 2 minutes, and they know. They just look right at him, and they see it, and then they know, and it's a done deal. Mafia, you know, I'm totally on top of that there. That's exactly how it works. And all this other right. stuff about parents and everything else, I'm not even tripping.
Right, because parents are always like, oh, if you do this or that, and the scout could just look at him and be like, no, he does this, or, you know, they could tell by, you know, the skills, the footwork, the way they skate, the way they pass, just the vision, like, they could pick it up quickly because they've been there. They've seen the guys who are great enough to do it. Every parent's going to think their kids, that the stuff, they're going to think that they're the best ever. They're going to, you know, nothing can go wrong with them because they're old Johnny, but
that's right.
The people that call it like it is, and, you know, we've even seen enough, you know, whether being around the pros or just, we call it like it is. We'll look at it and be like, no, that's not it. We've guys that we played with, you know, who are like D1 athletes, and you say, okay, this guy's great, but I've seen what it takes to really be there. He ain't it.
Well, you and I played with a lot of people that said they were going pro, right? And we always said to each other, leaving the gym, that's never going to happen.
Right.
Everyone we know is going pro. Even adults that I play with think they're going pro. These young kids that I play with, and they're really good. And they're just not that good. They're good.
The kids that are in high school, I'm like, oh, that kid's great. He's going to be something special in college. I'm like, no, he doesn't pass. He doesn't know how to do this. He doesn't see the whole
thing. And then we go to his dorm, and Mavi and I knock on the dorm, and he's passed out with a bottle of Jack, and he's sleeping with his jeans on and around his ankles. So he was great when he was a kid, and then he went to college and started partying.
Oh, yeah. Johnny gets everybody.
Johnny gets everybody. That kid had a great jumper. I don't know what the hell happened to him. Anyway, what happened, Mafia? I know that Tom Izzo got into it with his player Brown, leaving the floor at halftime of the game. And the kid turned around and gave him the business. Like, don't press me, old man. He gave him the look like, dude, I will snap you in two.
Yeah, at the end of the half there was a bad switch on a pick and roll. UCLA ended up with an open jumper at the elbow, and one of his teammates gave him the business. He started yelling to him, and then Izzo came off the court as they were going to halftime and telling him, like, no, the other guy's right. Like, telling him, you know, you're wrong, shut up, basically. And he started right in Izzo's face yelling at him, and then starts running off to the tunnel. Izzo, like, grabs his jersey, try to pull him back and talk to him some more, and the kid just smacks his hand around, keeps yelling at him, and then he turns around and just, you know, glares at him, talks him down, yells at him. I mean, that was pretty big confrontation with the coach there.
Do you think that confrontation led to a halftime of Izzo screaming? He's screaming right now at the refs. Look at him. He's losing it right now. I think he's just a surly SOB. I think he's great. I think he's a great coach. But I think he's starting to lose it.
Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite, and don't forget our mobile app. So if you're not getting it,
You're just not trying.
Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Mafia, I was talking about earlier, Bobby Kremins and his wife were at that Appalachian State game. Remember when he went down there and at the end of his career, and then he must still live there and root him on or something. I used to be good friends with Bobby when he was
the coach. Yeah, the coach was talking about that the other day. The coach that's there now was talking about how he talks to Bobby all the time, and he was giving him all advice and stuff, and about how, like, I think this is only the third time the program's ever gone to the NCAA tournament. So, like, a former player told him, like, hey, you can tell your guys, like, you're one of 36 players in the history of the school to actually play in an NCAA tournament game.
He was great, and he was always good to me. He came on the show a million times. And I did a lot of work when I was in Atlanta with Georgia Tech. I lived in Atlanta a few times, so that's cool. Let's go to Tony in Massachusetts. You're on a bench.
Well, how's it going, my man?
Hey, dude.
Listen, really quick, a funny Pharrell story. So I was trying to get a friend to listen to you because he listened to Howard and listened to you frequently on Howard, but not a lot. I said, you got to listen to the Game 7, dude. You got to listen to the Game 7. It's a great clip, you know what I mean? And so we did.
Right.
And so he lays laughing hysterically. And then so your show was on. So it just so happened we tune into the show. And this guy calls in, and he said, you'll remember this, or it was from like a year and a half ago. He goes, hey, Pharrell, I know you're not a big hockey guy. I turned right to my friend and go, he's going to flip out right now. He's going to flip out right now. And you're like, not a big hockey guy. What are you kidding me? And you went on to like the whole show. It was hilarious. I don't know if you remember that. But
I remember that. I do remember that. I mean, we love hockey.
That was like the funniest thing I've ever heard. It really was.
Right. I remember that.
My real question was, up here in, I'm in Plymouth, but, Boston,
right.
Everyone's obviously talking about what Kraft did and, you know, obviously, but, the guys up here do a good job, you know, the guys I listen to, Mike Felger or whatever, but I really wanted your opinion because it's the one that matters. What do you think they're going to go with Cam, or are they got something in, you know, the back burner for another quarterback?
I talked to Jim McBride a lot on the show from the Boston Globe, and you know, we talked about it the other night about frankly drafting a quarterback, because what they've done is, in my opinion, they've loaded up on everything else, and then they re-signed Andrews tonight. I think they did that earlier. I think he got a 4-year deal to stay. So that was a huge deal, and they have everything covered now, basically, unless I'm tripping. I think that every single two tight ends, they got everything going. They got, I mean, they did it all. They literally did it all. We could go down the list. I'd be here for an hour. They bought every player in the league that was a good free agent, and then they even brought back Van Noy, and they've done all kinds of, I think, moves to make the team better. They bring back Cam. That deal doesn't cost them much money. That's just a dinner party bill compared to some of what these quarterbacks are making in the NFL. So they got him back, and then they got Stidham. And I think bottom line is, you know, that's what they have. And then I think they had Hoyer there as well too, unless I'm tripping, but let's just say for the sake of saying it, why not? Like, Hoyer's shot. He's old. He's like a backup, unless I'm tripping. I don't even know if he's there anymore. I know that if they draft a quarterback, why not groom him? He could do way worse than learning from Cam Newton, and Stidham's there. So he's been in it a little bit. He's had his toe in it. And I think his day will come. And then if they bring up a kid, I think that that would seem to make sense to me, because they've done everything else. They've spent money on everything else, and they've got everything else figured out. They lost Thuney. Of course, that hurt them, but they had to make moves. They did. I think they covered their asses on everything. And then what's left? I mean, they got draft picks. Why not waste one of them on a quarterback that they can develop? And because I don't know if a lot of people, frankly, have, you know, faith jumping up and down type faith in Jarrett Stidham, to be honest with you. Listen, I know you guys don't think Cam did anything. He had 20 touchdowns, 10 picks. At the end of the day, he ran it in 12 times. So effing what? I mean, bro, you're from Boston. A touchdown's a touchdown. I don't care who scores it. You guys won all those Super Bowls because you score touchdowns. I don't care who does it. A tackle could be eligible and catch it for all I care. Run it in. Run it in yourself. Quarterback, keeper, whatever. Throw it in the corner, Gronk, all these years. I'll take whatever I can get. You give me 20 and 10, and you barely got paid anything. He was making, like, chump change. And he never got to train in the offseason. He never got to do anything, no anything, because of COVID. They just showed up and started playing. At the end of the day, with all of those circumstances, I don't think he sucked that bad, to be honest with you. I thought he did a pretty decent job. And he got COVID. He missed time. He was sick and came back and still was a pro about everything. Imagine if he didn't get sick. Imagine if he got to practice and have a training camp and OTAs and all that stuff, and he never got sick, and then he never missed games. And, you know, my guess is he'd probably be around 25 to 27, maybe 7 more TDs. All I know is I didn't think he was that bad, all things being equal. And obviously, I hate to be right, but they brought him back. They must think he doesn't suck, too. So I think he can still play. I think he's, I hate to say it, serviceable, but I still think he is smart, can make plays, can score touchdowns, can get first downs, can still sling it. He threw some bombs and ropes. I saw it. He had his moments. So people can think whatever they want there. It's not Tom Brady. So get over that. That's over with. So run with this. You got all this talent around him now. You bring the two tight ends in, start smashing people in the mouth. I think he can be that guy, throw underneath to the tight ends, start throwing it like Brady used to the backs. Get it on. Make it all just, you know, pounding it, getting it and pounding first downs, moving the ball and scoring touchdowns. Smash mouth stuff, I think, will win there. And I think he's perfect for that, to be honest with you. And then bring up some kid through the draft. I mean, I'm sure they can sling some quarterback in there, some young kid, and develop him. I mean, why the hell not? What do you think, Mafia? What do you think they should do? Do you think they obviously brought him back? They didn't do it for their health. My guess is, I know some people say he might have to compete for, he'll start. That'll be that. He'll start.
Who's he compete with? Jarrett Stidham? That's not a competition. We already know that's not a competition. That's A, why they brought him back, and B, why Stidham wasn't playing at all last year, even when Cam was struggling and even when Cam was banged up. They have no faith in that kid anymore. It's completely about draft somebody else and, you know, have some kids, you know, sit for a year or two. They're not going to go first round, second round. That's not how Bill Belichick does it. He's going to get somebody like third, fourth, fifth round, someone who he needs to develop into what he wants them to be. So now you have Cam sitting there for a while. He's going to know the system more. It looks like they're going to, you know, they're probably going to, I don't want to say dumb it down, but they're going to simplify it. When we're talking to McBride, and he's saying it's going to be smash mouth football. You know, it's not going to be all these fancy passes. He had no weapons last year. Now you got them. Not only did they sign the tight ends, they got a couple, you know, they got some receivers too, and they're going to cut some of the dead weight they had at that position over the last couple of years. They're going to be better overall on offense, and the defense is going to be better too. We, you know, forget that. Everyone talks about the signings they made. You got to remember the guys they're bringing back too. I know Chung just retired, but they're getting a lot of talent back in that defensive end that was opting out last year. It's going to make it easier on them because they're not going to have to put up 30, 40 points to stay in games. They're going to be able to slow it down and play the way that Bill did it in the early days of Brady and most of the years of Brady, where it's
glory
like
days.
We'll give up 17 points and then we only have to score 20. That's how it's going to be. And Cam could do that.
And they got Godshaw, the defensive tackle, good price on him. They got Wise, pass rusher, good price on him, 10 mil. And then I love Jonnu Smith and Henry as their tight ends. That's fairly talented and smash mouth for sure. And then I love Judon is just he's basically a pass rushing terrorist. The guy's a bomb. He's a missile. He makes plays. I mean, I cannot believe, frankly, that the Ravens let him out of there. I can't even believe they didn't, you know, give him a deal. I don't know what their finances were like with the cap and everything else or what it was going to be, but they let him roll, do whatever, free agent, whatever. He goes and gets that fat deal. He got $32 million from them. They've already went off. I told you they got Andrews back 4 years. I'm telling you, it'll be interesting to see what he does with all of it, because he's never spent like that before. They've never got Belichick to get Kraft, to give him all that money, to do tons of free agents. But he's always got guys that do jobs and fill roles. So I think that, obviously, I think he got all the pieces he needed to fill those roles. Even they got Bourne in there and Aguilar, the receivers. So this team's loaded. They have everything. Let's see. Let's see what he does now. Remember, he's a great coach, as good as they come, the best ever, maybe. And all I know is COVID ruined everything. It ruined, it got involved in their season. It reared its ugly head on them and a lot of teams and a lot of players, blah, 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 blah. Bottom line is 2020 sucked. And now you go into a new season. He got a big, fat bank to go buy all those players and get them. And now he's got talent, and barring injury, barring anything catastrophic, great coaches. He's got the same guys, McDaniels. He brought back your boy Patricia from the Lions. He did such a terrible job in Detroit. They brought him back to his old job where he was actually good at his job. And they're going to be solid. You know, if everyone's healthy and doing their thing and they're clicking, I think they're going to be tougher than anybody thinks. In fact, I'd still put them ahead of, the Jets. And, you know, I think the Dolphins, at the end of the day, they didn't make the playoffs. They were average, maybe a little bit better, than them, the Patriots, because the Patriots were so average. Maybe I thought the Dolphins, what do they have, 10 wins? I thought they had a better season. But I think the Patriots can be better than the Dolphins again this year with what they've picked up. But famous last words with free agency buys. You go out and spend $500 million, and then, you know, the wheels start falling off because of injuries or whatever else. You never know what it's going to be. But on paper, right now, they look like they locked and loaded for rock and roll. Let's go. Rock and roll, lock and load. Here you go. They got all that they need. They got all the pieces. And they got all their players back, Hightower and all of them, that, you know, besides Chung, the rest of them are back. They're already loaded with some of the talent they have. And let's see what they do in the draft. And I think that only makes them stronger. That'll make them even stronger, and we'll see where they go. I think Buffalo's still the best team in the division right now. They took that throne from the Patriots when Brady went to Tampa, and Brady went down there and won the Super Bowl. Now they got players guaranteeing, White guaranteed a wasn't it him, Mafia? I think he's the one that guaranteed the Super Bowl. We did that on Coast to Coast today. They're already talking about guarantees down there. They're going to win it again. Famous last words. The Chiefs were going to win 7 in a row. How'd that work out? By the way, we never finished that statement. Their defense was overrated because in the Super Bowl, they got their ass beat. That defense didn't stop Jack. So let's all get real on that for a second before you go to bed tonight. It's Pharrell on the Bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger up.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench. Lakers up on the Hornets 60-47 in that one. I just want to look really quick, Moff, at LaMelo Ball having a terrible game. He's got 6 points, 2 of 8 from the floor, over 2 from downtown, 3 rebounds, 5 dimes. Do you think he freaked out playing at home in L.A. in front of his family or something? Because he never plays this bad. So the Suns, 101-96 on the Wolves, 7 minutes left there. Plenty of time left in the Laker-Hornet game, by the way. It's an 8-point game now, 60-52 Lakers. Blazers up 13 on the Pelicans, 10 left. The Knicks beat the Magic 94-93. Wizards 131-122 over the Jazz. So they upset Utah in D.C. tonight. I took the Wizards in the spread. Hawks big and covered against the Thunder 116-93. As far as hockey late night, going to the third. Coyotes, Ducks, twos at the pond in Anaheim. Devils beat the Penguins 3-2. Bruins 4-1 over the Sabres. Flyers 4-3 over the Islanders. Jackets beat the Canes 3-2 in overtime. The Lightning doubled up the Blackhawks 4-2. Predators upset the Panthers 2-1. Drag. Stars lose in Detroit 3-2 to the Wings. Oilers 2-1 over the Jets in Edmonton for Alberta. And the Avs bomb the Wild 5-1. In the NCAA late game, Michigan State's lead is down to a bucket, 64-62 with 6:54 left in a timeout. So the big lead at the half has melted away like an ice cream cone after Izzo was lighting up Brown and getting into an argument with him in the tunnel. Spartans may not be able to recover. What will happen? Who knows? Oh, the calamity. I'll see you at 4 tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Night.